Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Breaking Bread, a daily Pennsylvanian podcast about diversity, equity, and inclusion. My name is Liv Yoon, and I am your host. Today, we are recording our new episode with Kira Rye. Our food for the day is just Starbucks drinks. I have a iced matcha latte with oat milk. And what do you have, Kira?
I have a hot chocolate.
Nice, nice. Okay, so Kira and I met in anthropology class this semester. I was thrilled to meet an exchange student from the UK, especially because I hope to study abroad in London next year. And spending time with Kira has really opened my eyes to some major cultural differences between our countries. And I think she definitely has some opinions and things to say on the matter. So let's just get right into it.
Let's do it.
So first, hello, what's up? Thank you for coming on today.
Oh my God, thank you for having me. This feels so amazing. I feel like I'm on Cool Daddy.
Okay, so we'll start with a quick introduction. Just name, year, major, hometown, pronouns, and any parts of your identity that you feel are relevant and comfortable sharing.
Okay, I'm Kara. Wait, the year I was born, 2003. No. Oh, my year. Okay, I'm a junior. I'm a third year student. I'm from London, West London, Ealing. Don't know if anyone will know that. And my pronouns, she, her. And what am I studying? Oh, I take history. History with like a little bit of anthropology.
Nice. Okay, so getting right into it, can you explain your decision to go abroad to the US and why specifically Penn?
What a great starting question, Liz. let's get into it. So no, I was like 13 when I decided I wanted to study abroad. Like my mom would take us to America when we were kids, and I would go and see American campuses and like collect hoodies because I was just odds for some reason. And I was just like, in that moment, I was like, I know I'm going to study in America. So when I applied to university, I applied specifically for a year abroad in America program. I don't know why. I just had it in me for some reason. And then it came to doing the applications. And I'd heard of the Ivies, obviously, and I'd never really thought about ever going because I was not thinking I was smart enough to do that. But then I put Penn down as a joke. It was literally a joke between me and my family and my friends. I was like, oh my God, this is so funny. I'm applying to an Ivy. Like, ha, ha, ha. And then I actually got accepted, and I was like, oh, this was not supposed to happen, because I actually wanted to go to Toronto. So Toronto would be so much fun. But then I was like, oh, I feel like a proper asshole if I say I'm not coming to Penn. So I came here. Thought Philly was a really cool city from like the research I'd done. I was like, it's got a good music scene. I like being in a city. It's a great university. It's on the East Coast. So these are all the things that I was thinking about, but I didn't actually think about Ivy in itself and what that means for like the education vibes, the culture, all of that. So that was like a little bit misguided on my behalf.
Okay, so moving to the next question, how would you describe your experience so far, and what have been some culture shocks that you've experienced or any pleasant surprises?
Okay, so when I first got here, I really liked the city, first of all. And I thought that Penn was gorgeous as a campus. It's absolutely lovely. I wouldn't say that my university back home looks anything like this. I think the architecture here is phenomenal, all of that. So that was like really, really lovely. And then classes started, and it's the same back home. We both take four classes, but the workload here is like every single week you have something to do, whereas back home you'll kind of have two things to do for a module in like the year that you take it. So it's like a lot less work. Attendance isn't graded, so you don't have to show up to any classes if you didn't want to. And that really weirded me out when I got here, that I had to actually go to class, because I was like, what? I was like, surely I don't need to go. So that was definitely a weird culture shock. And then I'd say with the people, completely different. Like back home in London, everyone drinks like a lot, everyone smokes cigarettes, everyone's kind of very laid back and chill. Whereas when I came here, everyone just seemed like so intense. Everyone was going to every single class. Everyone takes like 7,000 curriculars, extracurriculars even. And no one just like relaxed. And I was like, whoa, this place is not normal. But not in a bad way, just in like a very different way to my hometown.
Yeah. Wait, just for clarification, do you mind saying what your home school is?
Oh yeah, University College London. So it's in the city. It's really like, it's similar to Philly, and like we all have like a campus uni that's near a city, so the going out vibes are similar, but just no one goes out to the city as much here, whereas everyone back in London is always out in London. Mm-hmm. Whereas I feel here, because of that distance between us and the city, everyone just stays in this Penn bubble, and I feel like no one really breaks out of it. And I think that's also because like the frat party society life, which again doesn't exist back in London.
Okay. So what aspects of American culture have you found most intriguing or challenging to adapt to?
I'll be real, the frats. this is not common at all. There is no hierarchy, division, kind of exclusion of one group from another with very clear-cut boundaries. Like with every single frat, I feel like there's a lot of distance between them. Like I hear that like they kind of stick to their cliques. And also just the environment it creates at the uni. It's like everyone kind of like knows what frat boys are who, and it's just like there's a lot of names on campus, I feel like, whereas back home everyone's just somebody. Like there's no hierarchy with it. So that I don't enjoy. I think frat is interestingly weird. And sororities, both of them.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I feel like it's just so normalized here that you don't even think about it, but...
Because I remember I was at yours once, and there was, like, some stressful thing happening with some frat. And I was, like, everyone was, like, really stressed and panicked. And I just, like, burst into laughter. I was, like, there is no way this is real right now. Like, whatever they were talking about, I was, like, this is not... This, guys, wake up. And everyone thought it was so serious. It's interesting.
So is there any parts that have been really intriguing or interesting to you?
Intriguing. I guess like just intriguing in the way of like everyone's very focused on their careers at like a very young age. I would say back in London, again, we don't really do the extracurriculars as much. No one's like really stressed about internships. But here there's like 5,000 consultant clubs, all of that stuff. So it's intriguing in the way that like you guys are very planned out. And you're kind of moving in this direction that feels very linear and straightforward. Whereas back home, I feel everyone's kind of up and down with where they are in their life. So that's been intriguing. But there are other good things about this place. Like, I'm trying to think. Acme? No, I'm joking. That place is so overpriced. I can't actually think of anything good. But I actually love Penn. That's the thing. I actually really love it here.
Wait, I'm glad you like it, especially because it wasn't.
Yeah, no, I also had, like, international friends in the first semester. Like, I had all my friends from Australia who are now back at home. So they're not here. But that was, like, so fun to make a whole new group of friends. And, like, that's what I've liked about Penn is, like, I've met so many people from around the world that I'd never probably meet if I was at my home university. And then this semester I've been traveling so much. I've made, like, an amazing best friend here, Charlotte. So I'd say, like, all of that has been so ridiculously positive that I can't really fault Penn in that respect.
Yeah, absolutely. Have there been any memorable cultural exchanges or learning moments you've had during your time here?
Oh my God. So when I first got here, I went to like my first frat party. And I was like, okay, like this is not going to be like the movies. And I was walking like along and I was speaking and this girl was like, are you British? And I was like, yeah. And she like screamed in my face. And I was like, this is not necessarily a cultural exchange, but I was like, this is bizarre. I was like, there is no way someone was that interested. But cultural exchanges is what, as in, like, through friendships?
Yeah, I mean, I think anyway, like, formal or informal.
Feel like I've learned so much through you. Like, just, like, hanging with you and your friends, kind of seeing what that dynamic's like. And just, like, the daily conversations that we have where I learn so much from just talking to you. I feel like that has been replicated with a lot of people here. And that's just, like, an exchange I would never get back home. Mm-hmm. So that's been good.
Would you say, just going back to what you were saying about your exchange friends from last semester, would you say the exchange student population here is pretty tight-knit or strong?
Individually with certain people in certain groups, I'd say like as a whole unit, no, but there are definitely some groups, like a lot of people that came from Australia remained really good friends and they see each other back home and we keep in touch. And there are certain groups that have really worked, but that's kind of been because of where they came from. Like a lot of the Italians clicked and stayed the same and the Spanish and etc. So with that, not really, but everyone's very friendly.
Okay. So you're from the UK, but you're ethnically Indian, correct?
I am ethnically Indian.
So
brownie.
So how does that experience as an Indian woman differ in the UK versus the US? This one is I'm really curious about
that's
this one.
So deep. Growing up, I grew up in like a very white kind of community, like middle class. So a lot of my friends when I was really young were all white. So growing up, I really rejected being Indian. Like I hated that I was brown. Mm-hmm. I was like, this just doesn't make sense. Everyone around me white. And also like, I guess Asian culture even, you think of like the strict parents and stuff like that, and that's like a huge category, but like specifically Indian parents, very strict. Mm-hmm. So I really resented that as I grew up in London, but that wasn't through fault of anyone else. That was just me. And then when I got older, I made more friends that were Indian, and I kind of came into acceptance with that. And I'd learned about like the racism that my parents experienced growing up, and I was really lucky I didn't. So that was all fine. And then I remember jokingly before I came to Penn and when I was like making my applications, I was just like messing about. And I was like, one of the biggest questions that we had to do was, what's your biggest fear about going to America? I was like, I'm going to get shot, mate. I was like, they don't like the brown people over there. Like, they're going to kill me. That genuinely was like, I was going to put that in my application. And then I thought, I don't think America's going to like that one. So I took it out. But that was one of my fears. I was just like, from an outside perspective, you're really worried because you hear so much, you know so much about how racist institutions are very much still prevalent today. So I was apprehensive, but I think it's been fine. Like, I am really lucky in the sense that racism hasn't touched me to a conscious extent directly or purposefully. I know it's around me. I know it's existing, but I've not been attacked. And I would say like everyone's been really nice. And even if someone doesn't like me, I don't know if it's because I'm brown.
Yeah.
It could be for whatever. But so, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Would you say UCL is less diverse than Penn or more equally?
Well, the thing about UCL is like we get 40% international students and then 60% are like from the UK. So we have a massive influx of people from all around the world. So it is very diverse. I would say here, actually, there's a larger concentration of like Caucasian people. But it's not like it's not greatly different. But I would say that is more white people. Would you agree?
Here.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't been to UCL, but I would say I would say yes, there is a very big
population.
But what's funny is that for a lot of people, this is a very diverse place.
Really?
This is for me the most diverse institution I've ever been in.
Really? Wait, yeah. So what are the other Ivies? Is it just Ivies or like this side of America or what?
I think it's just the U.S. in general.
Oh, really? I heard that about, like, I swear down south is, like, a bit more
Oh, white. Down south is very, very white.
Very white. That's, like, a big white concentration of people.
Yeah. And, I mean, yeah, also Ivies, I would say, in particular, too, are pretty white.
Is that because, like, the wealth thing?
Yeah, definitely part of that, yeah.
Because that's the other thing that blows my mind. Like, more than anything is how much you guys pay for education. Because back home, first of all, for a year at university, any university in the UK, it's roughly like $11,000. And you can, every single student, no matter how much your family earns, can apply for a grant from the government. Not grant, but like
subsidy or something?
Nah, what's it? A loan.
A loan, oh.
Sorry. A loan. You can apply for that. And then you pay it back really slowly after like you start making X amount of money. Whereas here, like you're paying like
more
than $80,000 a year.
And they're actually raising it.
What?
Yeah.
What, for Penn or for all American universities?
For Penn. I would say Penn is definitely one of the most expensive universities in the U.S. But I think we roughly pay about 86
in tuition
a year. That's just tuition. That doesn't really count for like.
Wait, that's just tuition.
That's just tuition, and that's like that's why so many students are just drowning in student loan debt.
Oh, my God. Wait,
it's ridiculous.
I swear you guys have to do 4 years of uni, right? Like, it's minimum 4. See, back in the UK, it's 3.
Oh, really?
Wait, so you pay 4 years of education. That is 86 grand a year.
Yeah.
And then plus, like, accommodation and stuff and food, no? And, like, travel?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's a scam.
It's a scam. Do you guys not see that you're being robbed daylight?
Yeah.
This is insane. So, wait, but do a lot of people, are they able to get access to like government funding? Is that like quite common?
Well, because we're a private university, it's really just like you can apply for financial aid or
from the university.
Yeah, so when you apply, I'm not exactly sure how Penn admissions work, but I think how it works is when you apply for financial and then like a financial package and they'll give it to you, but sometimes they don't always give as much as you need. And
then what happens? You can't go.
Yeah, that's happened to some people, or you have to find a way, pretty much.
Wow. And I actually have a question for you, if I'm allowed to ask.
Yeah, absolutely.
How many universities did you apply for when you applied for uni?
I would say, so I did early decision to Penn, do you know what that is?
Yeah, like so, when they like say it and you approve it and then you definitely go.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I only actually ended up applying to 2 because of that. However, if I hadn't gotten in early decision or if I decided to not do an early decision application, probably around 12.
Oh my God. We're only allowed to apply for 5.
What?
And you use one, you write one like 500 word letter and you send it to every single one of them. Because basically our process is a lot more confined, like not confined, refined. You have to pick all these universities, you pick 5, you write this thing called a personal statement, which is kind of like a brief summary about your education, but like written extremely well. Mm-hmm. You send them out to 5 universities and then they all get back to you before like March. And then you apply to like 2 in the end, whoever like accepts you. And then depending on your A-levels, then you go. But you guys apply to like 20, I hear. Some people do that.
Yeah, some people do as much
And isn't it a different essay for all of them?
Well, so we have something called the Common. So the Common app is, I think, kind of similar to what you were describing.
Okay.
It's just an essay that you write. And it's very much more open-ended. So you can pretty much write about anything significant in your life. I wrote about my grandfather.
Whoa.
And then, yes, there's supplemental essays for each college. Plus your standardized testing and
oh my god
and all the other information you gotta fill out. So yeah, sorry, we digress. We digress. But moving back to you, have you encountered any stereotypes or misconceptions about your home country or culture while in the U.S. and how have you addressed them?
What an interesting question. Thing about people I think misconstrue about England a lot is that we like royals or like not or like engaged with like the royal practices or know a lot about them or know that history. People like expect me to know A, B, C, D, and it's like I genuinely don't not care about the royals whatsoever. So that's one. I'd say they all just think we go to I think they think we're kind of just weird. I don't know. I don't feel like you get us. I feel like you don't get our humor a lot either. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're very sarcastic and blunt, whereas you guys aren't. Oh, and that it's always gray and raining, which is kind of semi-true, but it's not like always gray and raining. That's one misconception. I'm sure there are so many others.
Can you give an example about the humor? I'm actually kind of curious.
Oh my gosh, yes. So I would say back home, our humor is very sarcastic, borderline bullying, but is so funny because you are just like taken the piss out of in the most sarcastic and brutal but like obviously funny ways that are quite cutthroat, and you kind of have to develop some tough skin for it,
right?
And it's like banter, like that is what it is. I don't know if you guys have an equivalent over here, but like it's very loving. Mm-hmm. Whereas like you make a mean joke to someone here, they actually like get offended and it's like grow up, like I'm not actually insulting you, it's coming from a place of love. But people don't get it. So I've kind of had to like adapt my humor a little bit. Mm-hmm. Whereas like when I talk to my friends back home, the way we speak is like, it's so different. I don't know.
No, I think that makes sense. I definitely think.
Like if you watch a British TV show, like do you ever watch any British TV shows? Like the original Office, right? If you watch that, the UK version of The Office before the US one came out, the humor is very different. It's the same jokes, the same line, script. But the way we deliver that humor is very stark to yours. And that's what makes them two really great shows. But if you watch them back to back, you'll realize it's literally the same script, but delivered in different ways.
Okay. I didn't even realize The Office was originally from the UK.
Oh, there you bloody well go. There you go. You guys think everything is yours, don't you? You think that? Remember, mate, we owned you, right? British. This was British land or something.
What's crazy for the listeners is that I asked Kira about the Revolutionary War, and she told me she had no idea that they barely learned it.
Like, we don't really give that much, I don't know, attention. Like, we did. Like, we did Cold War. We did all the Wild Wars. But we focused a lot on, to be fair, we did learn a lot about our monarchy growing up. Mm-hmm. And then it was all kind of more British Empire, stuff like that. The Revolutionary War, I'm not gonna lie, I don't ever remember learning about it. Sorry, America.
It's all good. So, how has being an exchange student influenced your perspective on your home country and culture?
Wow.
Has it made you like appreciate it more, or has it made you realize certain things are flawed about the UK?
Well, that's a long question. You might have to repeat some parts as we go on. But how has it made me reflect on my hometown? First of all, it gives you such a different appreciation. But then again, I grew up in London and went to a university in London. So I never really grew away too much from my hometown. It was always there as a safety net. Mm-hmm. And I reached like 19, 18 even, and I was like, a part of me really needs to grow up and be independent, and I feel like I'm not getting that here. So coming here has given me such an appreciation for home in a way that I've never had. I've never been away from home, for 6 months. Mm-hmm. So very grateful for it. Very grateful for my family foundation. Like, I would not be able to like be here and be as confident and like do as well as I'm doing without their support. And I think that's been so instrumental, and like keeping in touch with them has been so lovely. How it's made me think about the UK in a way that it's flawed. Was that the question?
I mean, yeah, if
flaws
at all.
Of the UK. There are some flaws. I'd say, like, especially being away from like a group of friends for like a year and then kind of keeping in touch with them online, I've seen how certain friendships have changed. And that's not necessarily how the UK is flawed, but how my version of London exists today is like my relationships with certain friends have changed. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but I think it's shown me who my real, true, good friends are. So in that way, it's been quite eye-opening. I feel like I've grown up a lot and realized, after being on my own for a while, just kind of taking some time to reevaluate who and what I need in my life. So that's been very interesting. And what was the other thing that you asked?
I guess anything in particular that you miss about home?
Miss my dog. She's such a real one. And I try and FaceTime her. And I'm like, Corey. And I do it in this high-pitched voice. And she, like, kind of gives me a look and then just dosses off and, like, actually doesn't care. So that's been really tough. I also just miss, like, the London culture. Like, our pubs at home, like, everyone goes to the pub a lot. And it's kind of like a very, I can't even describe it, but, like, it's almost like a place of worship. Like, going to the pub on a Friday night with your friends after it's, like, you've had a long day at uni, it's sunny outside, everyone's in the pub gardens, there's some tunes going, everyone's got a pint or a glass of wine, everyone's having a cigarette. The vibes are just immaculate. Whereas here, I remember I asked out you for a casual drink. Ask you out, whatever. I was like, let's go smoke, let's go have a drink. And you were like, what? And I was like, do you want to have like a glass of wine after class? And you were like, are you literally mental? And I was like, no. I was like, are you? Like, what? What are you on about? You don't drink wine. Last night, me and Charlotte, for no reason, shared a liter bottle of wine just for the piss. Like, just to literally get drunk. We get drunk and like watch Inbetweeners. And it's so funny. You guys need to watch Inbetweeners. You want classic British humor? You know what? We're going to watch an episode after this.
Okay. All right. I'm down. Okay, just to wrap up, do you have any last comments for the people out there?
Guys, my pronouns are USA forever. The UK. No, I'm joking. Guys, keep it real. This has been such an honor. I feel like I'm not sure I've added anything to any discourse that is particularly relevant to Penn students of today, our doctors and presidents of the future. USA, it's kind of where it's at. All right. It's not too bad.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. And thank you, Kira, for giving us some great insight and coming on today. And stay tuned for the next episode.
Bye.